Well, thank you, Lynn. Mic check. Am I being heard okay this morning? Awesome. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the sanctuary. Now is time for our weekly gathering. It is the first Sunday in July, so it's Reverend Gloria Wells is what you have today. I am broadcasting today from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. I'm in Georgia for the weekend, so I'm out of my cave this morning, but the weather is just as beautiful as I'm always used to. So I want to give everybody a chance to say hello, good morning in the sanctuary as we play our opening song, and then I'll be joining us after that song is over.
In the flowering of the heart, everybody here, melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Okay. You dropped the mic, Gloria.
Okay, do I have the mic now? Okay, great. Thank you, Lynn, for letting me know that. I would continue to go on there. I was just saying that it's so very good to see all the different locations saying good morning this morning. Arizona, Ohio, Vegas. I mean, it's just beautiful to see everyone gathering in this way, and that we have this this way to connect with one another. It's just absolutely beautiful. So, it is the first Sunday, and it is the holiday 4th of July weekend. So I'm here in Atlanta visiting with my family. So I'm a little not in my normal. I tell you, my own space is definitely But we'll get through this. So I want to start today by reading our statement of purpose, Awakening Together statement of purpose. We are an assembly of equals, joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. With an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and rest in its embrace. So I have some announcements this week that I'm going to read here. All right. So our announcements this week, the teachings are, we have two new Awakening Together classes starting in July. The teachings of Inner Ramana, which is a three-week class taught by the scribe, Regina Dawn Akers. During this class, you will practice surrender, the I Am That I Am mantra, and self-inquiry. This class is an excellent time to embrace these habits, which work together to help break the addiction to the ego. The cost of this class is $60. There are two class times to choose from, Tuesday evenings from 7:30 to 9:30 Eastern, beginning on July 26th, and Wednesday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern, beginning on July 27th. The other new class is Understanding Purification. This is a four-week class taught by Reverend Jacqueline Eckert. During this class, you will learn how to abide as open, conscious awareness and allow previously stuck or repressed thoughts and feelings to move through so that you can become free of them. The cost of this class is $80. This class will be offered on Wednesday evenings from 9:30 to 11:30 Eastern, which is 6:30 to 8:30 Pacific. This class begins on July 27th. So if you're interested in either of these classes, you can find out more information and register by going to the classes menu on the Awakening Together website. And for study group, this group was started in the sanctuary a couple of weeks ago. This group has attracted some new attention and has moved to a new time. So we thought we should tell you about it. Michael Langford has taken interest in this study group and announced it to over 2,000 people who follow his teachings. He has invited them to come into the sanctuary and attend this new group. This is the only known Michael Langford group in the world, so we expect some of them will take advantage of this opportunity and join us in the sanctuary. Also, Michael has said that he will be here for the group as often as he can be. This group is led by Reverend Jay McCormick, and right now it's focusing on the book, How to Live a Life That Knows Only Love, by Michael Langford. The group has moved to a new day and time to accommodate more people. The group will meet on the first and third Tuesday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That means that the group will meet this Tuesday, July 5th, at 7 p.m. This week, the group will discuss the quotes in Chapter 2, How to Live a Life That Knows Only Love. So, yes, that is awesome news that we have so many people, or Michael Langford has shared that group, and hopefully they'll be joining us. I'm certainly looking forward to joining the Michael Langford study group. Okay, so our third announcement for today is the Awakening Together Minister Preparation Program. This is a two-year ordination program based on Awakening Together's purpose and core values. The program includes courses such as True Discernment, True Meditation, Intro to the Tao Te Ching, Intro to the Teachings of Ramana Maharshi, and much, much more. This program begins only once or twice a year, and of course, the best time to get involved is at the beginning. A new MPP class will begin this summer. The first class, Introduction to MPP, will be offered in August. This is a free two-hour class, and it is a required part of the program for anyone who might be ordained. Even if you think that you won't be ordained, but you are interested in the MPP classes, we recommend you take Intro to MPP. Many people change their mind and decide they want to be ordained after taking this two-hour class. There are two chances to take Intro to MPP in August. The first is on Thursday, August 5th, from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. The second opportunity is Thursday, August the 11th, from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. The entire two-year program will be offered at the same time slot, Thursday evenings from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, which is 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific. If this interests you, you can get more information by going to the Awakening Together website and selecting classes, register now to start the Minister Preparation Program. All right, and that concludes our announcements for this week. We do have some exciting things going on in the sanctuary, and as always, it's a great idea to go out to the website and take a look at the sanctuary schedule to see what may interest you there. All right, so now I'm going to play us an opening song. After the opening song, I will rejoin you with our prayer for today. So I'll go ahead and let go of the mic. Okay, and thank you, Lynn. And I see that Barb has posted some links in the room. If anyone is interested, those links will lead you to how to register for MPP, as well as a link there regarding our fall retreat, which is in October this year. Okay, so if you'll please join me now in prayer. I am so grateful today for the opportunity to be here to share what is given to me or what comes through me to share. I open up myself to receive the light of the Creator that is always within me and free that to flow out into the world. I am deeply grateful today for everyone here listening, everyone on the radio, and as always, for everyone who works behind the scenes to make these types of gatherings possible. The focus today is the heart. So the heart is the area of love. And so I'm grateful today for love and how that love is always presenting itself to all of us. I'm grateful for the guidance that comes through me to share, and also what I receive from you all from being here. I open myself up to receive now. I'm grateful for one will, one love, and one power. And so it is. Amen. All right. Okay, so our topic for today's gathering is the Awakening Heart. The reading will come from NTI Chapter 7. And the reader for today is Kathy Smith. So I'm going to release the mic right now so that Kathy can bring our reading forth.
Thank you, Reverend Gloria. I'm trusting I can be heard. Good morning to everyone. And I just want to say one quick thing. Seconding that the idea that Gloria shared, I was, as she was reading the announcements, it was occurring to me how beautifully the sanctuary seems to have filled up with the spirit of all who are willing to show up and be present and give of their gifts. And I'm just really amazed at how quickly that has happened in what we call relative time, and how it seems to be flowing and loving and supportive. And I, too, appreciate all the effort that goes into it, that each and every one of us have a willingness to participate in and make happen. It doesn't happen of itself. It happens by our involvement. So I do appreciate that. On to the reading, NTI Matthew, Chapter 7. Judgment, knife that cuts the Son of God into pieces. For what you judge separate from you is seen as separate, and so it cannot be seen as one. I say to you, lay your judgment aside. Trust the guidance of the heart, trusting God and His Word. Love, and love is whole. Therefore, you cannot know God if you separate your brothers from yourself. Do not place them above you or below you in your mind, and do not place them above or below. For to separate them in your mind is to split your own heart. And a split heart cannot know love because it is split. And so it's not whole. Look after your own heart that it may be healed. Judgments, and ask only for love now. Do not take my words lightly without. For to listen and to agree, but not to practice, is not to have heard. And one who will not hear cannot be healed. Seek out the prayers of your heart. Ask your Father to make it whole again. For your Father knows that your heart seeks to be made whole, and he awaits only your willingness to give what you ask. Trust your Father to give as you ask truly, but know it is the healthy heart he listens to. He waits until his Son asks that he be healed. And then the Father reveals his gifts that they may be used for the purpose they were intended. For the Father will not assist the Son in maintaining his sickness, but the Father will point the willing Son in the direction of his health, that he may be made whole through his own willingness. Therefore, see your brothers as yourself. Know that their heart is the same as yours. Although they may seem to ask for sickness, their heart knows it wants its health. So do not answer their cry for sickness by returning anger for anger or hurt for hurt. Answer their heart's quiet cry for health by giving as the Father would give. Give health for health, and it is health you will receive. I ask you for your help, because leaders are needed among men. For a man who does not know that his heart yearns to be healed is lost indeed, and needs someone to help him see that his health, for a man who does not know that his heart yearns to be healed is lost indeed, and needs someone to help him see that health is his heart's desire. Let yourself be healed, that your brother may see your health and recognize it is but his own. Then he will ask for healing, and it will be given him. Concentrate first on your healing, that you may be used to lead your brothers to health. For an unhealed heart cannot lead its brothers to healing, for it knows not what health is. The sick must be healed before they can heal. The lost must be found before they can lead. Be new when you can see that they are lost. Hold not a grievance against them. Remember that a sick brother does not know he is sick. Forgive him his confusion, and pray to your Father that your sight may be made clear. One who practices his own will is not practicing the will of the Father, and it is the Father's will that brings him healing. For it is your will that has made you sick. Lay down your will and ask only for the Father's. By knowing and practicing his will, you shall be healed. Listen to my words, and let my words reach into your heart. For the healthy is small, but its will is complete, and it wills with God. Listen to the healthy heart, and it will spread, making your heart anew, and your strength will be rewarded with an unshakableness that brings eternal joy and knowledge. But listen not unto my words, and you shall hear the cries of your heart's sickness, and sickness cannot lead to health, so you shall not know strength. In your weakness, you will suffer, for weakness is not the will of your heart. authority comes from God, because God is all that is. One who knows his own authority knows God. Amen. And I'll release the mic.
Okay, thank you so much, Kathy. That was a great reading, and this reading will also be posted with the audio for today. So if anyone is interested in contemplating NTI Matthew chapter 7, that reading will be released with this audio. So before I, let me share our core value for today. The core value that this teaching will hopefully highlight here is core value number 5. We accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. So that is core value number 5. All right, so let's look a little closer at this reading. As I stated at the beginning, the topic for today is the awakening heart. What originally drew me to this reading, I was drawn to Matthew chapter 7, and I was drawn to NTI Matthew, not to a particular chapter there. I was drawn to that part of Matthew. So what made this chapter the one that I chose is the number of times the word heart is mentioned in this reading. If you weren't counting, don't worry about it. I counted the number of times the word heart appeared here, and it appeared 20 times in this actually quite short reading. The word heart appeared 20 times. So that said to me very clearly that this particular reading was what I was looking for in terms of a discussion about the heart, because Holy Spirit very clearly talked about the heart in this particular reading. Also one of the things that drew me to talking about the heart is I was looking at some information from HeartMath, and I was just really fascinated by the connection between the mind and the heart, how the heart informs the mind. The heart actually sends more signals to the brain than the brain sends to the heart. So I just thought that was fascinating, that so much of what we do is coming through that heart center. When we're looking at especially extending love, and everybody knows that love comes through the heart. So the heart is a very valuable, a priceless organ for us, really, especially on the spiritual path. So that's what I wanted to talk about today, is the what the heart contributes, or how the heart works in this awakening process. Now, I want to look at a specific verses here within Matthew chapter 7, specifically chapter verse 8. Look after your own heart that it may be healed. Lay down your judgments and act only for love now. Right there, we're being pointed to focus on the heart. We're not asked to focus on our legs or our brain or our hands. We're asked to focus on that heart area. So it goes on to say, do not take my words lightly without practice, for to listen and to agree but not to practice is not to have heard anything. And one who cannot hear cannot be healed. So I really, you know, I again really was fascinated by the whole idea about the focus on the heart. And one thing I noticed over the past couple of weeks as I was contemplating the heart, contemplating the role that the heart plays, one thing I noticed is how easily my heart seemed to open. Recently, Regina released a newsletter for ministers, and I read that newsletter, and I could just feel my heart opening. And of course, my heart is open before over things that I've read. It's just that wasn't like a devotional piece of information. It wasn't as if I was reading NTI. I was reading a newsletter. So my point is that what I've observed is simply having an awareness, simply wanting to focus on my heart created the opportunity for openings. So that was my practice over, and then will continue to be my practice in looking at the heart to make sure that, because this is how Holy Spirit speaks to us as well. From this reading, you can see many times throughout this reading when Holy Spirit refers to the heart, it's how that communication is coming through to us. Because as I said, through the heart math research that they've done, the heart is informing the brain. So the brain, of course, is moving the rest of our body. So if those signals are coming from the heart, and also with heart math, one thing that I discovered was that when that heartbeat is irregular, when we're stressed, when we're under pressure, when we're worried, when we're in fear, that creates an irregular heartbeat. And that sends a signal up to the brain that it needs to do some stuff, or it needs to be worried, or it needs to run out. And so absolutely the heart is going to be the center focus. And there is a little exercise that we'll do in a little bit that's from HeartMath. And I'm sure most of you are actually probably familiar with HeartMath as well as the exercise. But it's just a way to do what Holy Spirit is suggesting that we do here, which is to practice. Because to hear these words and not put anything into practice, you haven't heard anything. You've heard something, but it's not going to take you very far. So also in this reading, Holy Spirit admonished us to seek out the prayers of the heart, to ask the Father to make it whole again. And then there's, let's see here, I also have, there was a lot of information in this reading about seeing our brother as ourself, and that we would not be able to operate from this heart-based, this heart-centered way of being unless we were able to begin to see our brothers and others as we are. In the very first line here, Holy Spirit says that judgment is like a knife that cuts the Son of God into pieces. So if the heart is going to be our focus, then judgment has to be let go. It has to be something that we're looking at and practicing letting go of that in every area of life. Every area of life, that judgment has to be let go. There was also another area here within this teaching, love is whole, about what he was saying here. I'm thinking right now about my own experience, about the experiences, the learning and the undoing that has occurred in my life as of being focused in the heart. First of all, when I studied through the MPP program, purification, which is actually a class that's going to be coming up that Reverend Jacqueline Eckert will be teaching about purification, and that book is Michael Singer's book. That was the book that I read that really focused on, helped me to focus on my heart, seeing my heart as something that opens and closes. You know, you can allow all this stuff to come in and get stuck, but the heart is opening and closing. Every time you close down, you're shutting down that heart area. So that was anyone who wants to learn more about that heart, I would certainly suggest taking that class that's coming up this month that Reverend Jacqueline will be teaching. So this heart is opening and closing all the time. What I find is that when some sort of stimulus comes in that does not look the way that I would like it to look, then if my heart is shut down and my heart is informing my mind, absolutely, right there I'm going to not be operating from love. Because as Holy Spirit pointed out here in this reading, God is love and love is whole, which is also what Reverend Jacqueline talked about last week, the wholeness of love, that love is always here and available for us, and it's one love. In the focus of the heart, I've heard so many versions of what love is lately. It's as if the moment I started to focus on heart-based living, or heart contemplating the heart in this way, many things began to show up, versions of love from people around me. I would hear different types of versions of what love is, and in my mind, I'm always holding on to that there's only one love, and love is whole. Of course, I don't judge anyone for having an opinion about what love is, but from my perspective, love is whole, and that's what I'm understanding to be the truth. That's the truth that I have faith in, is that love is whole. So we're asked in this reading to trust God, to trust. Not only were we asked to seek the prayers of the heart, but we're asked to trust the Father to give as we have asked. But there's another area here that God is not going to grant us the sickness. He's not going to join us in our sickness. In order for His will to be done, then He's looking for a healthy heart. He's looking for a heart that knows only love, or at least that's seeking that love, seeking to operate from a place of love. And it only takes the slightest bit of willingness. He points out here that to let my words reach into your heart. Why is He asking us to let those words reach into our heart instead of our mind? Because the heart is where the love is emanating from, and that's where the power is, really, is in the heart area. For the healthy part of your heart is small, is what this part says. The healthy part of the heart is small, but the will is complete. So it doesn't take very much. That part says to me that it doesn't take very much willingness in the heart for Holy Spirit to take that and help us to create through us what is best, what is that perfect will. So it just doesn't take very much for very much willingness, and that's really good news. That's really good news. I don't have to have a whole boatload of willingness or an entire football field of willingness, or my heart doesn't need to be completely, absolutely free, healed, and whole. It takes a bit of willingness for Holy Spirit to work through me to accomplish His will, which, of course, is my will as well, right? It's my will that Holy Spirit is working to accomplish there. So I also wanted to share today from the lesson from A Course in Miracles, today's lesson. I want the peace of God is today's lesson, workbook lesson 185, is I want the peace of God. Now, that to me also tied into today's lesson, tied into this teaching, because in order for me to know the peace of God, I'm going to have to operate from the heart. I'm going to have to look at the heart as more than just an organ in my chest that's beating and flowing blood through the rest of my body. I'm going to have to begin to look at the heart as a sacred part of my being that is, if allowed to open, can be used by the Holy Spirit to do His will. So it's for me, it's been about changing my perception about the function of the heart. So going back today to today's workbook lesson 185, I have an excerpt here from today's lesson, and I'll go ahead and read that to you. Let us today devote our practicing to recognizing that we really mean the words we say. We want the peace of God. This is no idle wish. These words do not request another dream be given us. They do not ask for compromise, nor try to make another bargain in hope that there may yet be one which can succeed where all the rest have failed. To mean these words acknowledges illusions are in vain. Requesting the eternal in the place of shifting dreams, which seems to change in what they offer, but are one in nothingness. Today, devote your practice periods to careful searching of your mind to find the dreams you cherish still. What do you ask for in your heart? Forget the words you use in making your requests. Consider but what you believe will comfort you and bring you happiness. But be you not dismayed by lingering illusions, for their form is not what matters now. Let not some dreams be more acceptable, reserving shame and secrecy for others. They are one. So, of course, the line that I want to highlight is, what do you ask for in your heart? Because according to today's lesson here, that next line says, forget the words you use in making your requests. What are you asking for with your heart? So in other words, it doesn't matter what's coming out of your mouth. What's emanating from your heart is what's truly determining the direction that you will flow in or go in. It says here that these words do not request another dream be given us. Isn't that what we just read in NTI chapter 7? We're not asking for more dreams and more illusions. What we're looking for is heart-centered, loving actions that direct our path. So the words that are coming out of our mouth need to match what's in our heart. And going back to what HeartMath said, our heart is informing our brain. So it's utterly important, I feel, for us to know this and to operate from this place. Now, the exercise that many of you may already be aware of that HeartMath talks about is, it's a heart breath is what I call it, and they may actually call it that too. I've just never seen it written in that way where they're calling it a heart breath. So the practice there that they teach is to place the hand over the heart and to breathe right through that heart center whenever we feel closed down or if there's some sort of negative stimulus coming in. And I have been really practicing with this particular practice lately, just pausing. I don't even have to be upset about something. And I don't want to insinuate that this is only something that you do when you're upset or worried or concerned. This is something that we can and will do right now, and hopefully no one is upset or out of sorts at this moment. But it's just placing the hand over the heart, pausing for a few moments, and taking a few deep breaths directly through the heart. Just imagining that breath is coming directly in through the heart. And then they also suggest that you have a positive thought while you're taking that breath through the heart, because that positive thought just amplifies the feeling of love and the focus on the heart. So I place my hand there and I take a few deep breaths, and then I just bring a picture of my granddaughter into my mind, whom I love dearly, and as soon as I see her face in my mind, it softens my heart instantly. So I've been doing that practice, again, not only if there's a problem or a worry or a fear. I've been doing that because I want to get in the habit of being focused on the heart, of allowing, and also of letting go of judgments. So when I catch myself judging something, which is lately for me, those judgments are like red flashing lights. You know, if I have a judgment, it's not something that can just idly sit in my mind or something that can fester there. It's something that I have to like address. So even when I have a judgment in my mind that comes up, I put my hand on my heart, take a few deep breaths. I don't try to fight that judgment off. I don't try to judge the judgment. You know, that's the double dosing thing. But I focus on my heart. That takes my mind off of the judgment, that whatever judgment has come up, I allow that judgment to be what it is without feeding into it, without trying to push it away. Because for me, whenever I push judgments away, they come back tenfold. They come back even harder. They come back even stronger. So I just allow those judgments to be there. And I've been practicing this heart-based focus. And I can truly see the difference in how quickly I move back into my peace, where I'm not so focused on the judgment, not so focused on the problem, not so focused on whatever is coming up or going on outside of me. I want my focus to be internal, you know, as much as possible. Of course, I can't function in the world as we know it. I don't live in a cave, you know, I don't live in the Himalayas somewhere in the cave. I live a regular life, so I have to be able to function out in the world. But Adya Ashanti calls those functioning thoughts. It's something that we're able to do without any attachments to outcomes, without worrying too much about how anything will turn out. So bringing that focus back to the heart for me has been a very positive, a very loving and affirming practice that I'm sharing today in that way to hopefully allow you all to also understand, to embrace the use of the heart as more than just, again, an organ that's beating and pumping blood through our system. That's funny, Regina. You say you dreamt about Adi Ashanti last night. Hopefully that was a pleasant dream. Okay. So there is a proverb that I came across in the Bible as well. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Again, reaffirming that heart is the central focus. And the more I've made it the central focus of my daily activities, just taking moments, really brief moments throughout my day to just place my hand over my heart and take a few deep breaths, it just, something about life is just more peaceful. It is just a much more peaceful experience for me because of the focus, I'm convinced, because of the focus on the heart there. So let's go back now to Matthew chapter 7 and see if there's anything else that we can, that I can share there. Again, the reminder to concentrate on our own healing, on our own well-being. As I was coming, I flew into Georgia this weekend. I normally do drive because it's about a 7-hour drive from Tampa to Atlanta. It's about a 7-hour drive, but because of the holiday traffic, I decided to take a flight in this weekend because a 7-hour drive can easily turn into a 10-hour drive on the weekends on the holidays. So on the flight over, I happened to be sitting next to two gentlemen, and it turns out the gentleman in the middle seat, I was on the aisle seat, and there was a gentleman in the middle and then another guy at the window. And the gentleman in the middle, I didn't catch the very first part of the conversation. I only heard the latter part. I didn't know if he was a pastor or a minister, but by the time I took my headset off, I heard him talking to the gentleman at the window, explaining to him that Jesus was the way, and he was trying to convert the young man at the window seat. And the young man was open to that. Actually, he was listening, and I just sat there and listened. But at the end of that discussion, he asked the gentleman, he gave him the little card that you read when you accept Jesus as your Savior. He asked him if he wanted to read it. The gentleman said yes. So the guy prayed the prayer out loud. What are the chances of that, first of all, guys? I'm sitting there, and I'm now witness to this gentleman being converted right there in my presence. And I just listened. I didn't interrupt. I didn't add anything. I just listened. So he gave him the sheet. The gentleman read it, and he also offered at the end, you know, when they got off the plane, that he would go into the gift shop, buy him a Bible, and that he would give him his number. He could call him in the future. The whole point of that story is, no matter whether I was in agreement with everything that he was saying to this gentleman about his salvation or not, whether I, you know, was totally saying, yes, that's true, yes, that's true, yes, that's true, or not, that gentleman, the guy who was sitting in the middle seat, was operating from his heart. He was absolutely speaking from his heart, and he was attempting to save someone else who actually, again, happened to be open to that saving, you know, to that conversation. You know, and for me, that opened my heart again, because again, my focus has been on the heart. It didn't matter so much what he was saying. What mattered to me is that his heart was open enough and he was willing enough to want to share what he knows with someone else. Now, I don't know if they got off the plane and went and purchased the book, the Bible, whether he went and purchased the Bible for this gentleman. And to me, that doesn't matter. I don't know what happened after we deplaned. But I just thought that was also a very good example of the use of the heart. And again, it also goes back to what I said. The more I'm focused on my heart, do you see how I drew that experience, something to observe right there, a heart-opening experience, because of my own focus on my heart? So I want to just really make sure that I'm hitting that point home. The more you focus on your own heart, the more heart-affirming experiences will find you. This plane was full of people. Babies, adults, almost every seat on the plane was full. What are the chances that I sit next to someone who's preaching? So I thought it was beautiful. So yes. All right, so that's really all I have to share today. I'm just, you know, this whole notion about the heart is, it just has me in a very, very, very open place. You know, and I'm constantly, my prayer is constantly that the willingness, offering the willingness to be open in this way, offering the willingness to, and so because that is my sincere prayer, my true desire is to live in this open-hearted way, then without a doubt, people, situations, circumstances, all of those things are showing up for me to, just as a reminder, just to help that to be cultivated, that love within me to be cultivated even further, right? So that's the role that the heart is playing in that awakening to get, in that awakening process. The more I remain open, the more my heart is open, the more Holy Spirit is able to speak to me and through me, which of course is getting me in the direction of awakening. The more I'm being spoken to, the more I'm being led, the more I'm being carried in that direction, I'm moving in the right direction there. And everyone who's doing that is moving in the right direction there. So yes, now is the time in our service for donations. Barb will post a link in the room. If you'd like to make a donation, now is the time to do so, or you can do that later. And then I'm also going to release the mic and allow Lynn to play a song for us to contemplate this teaching today. Again, I am out of my comfort zone and as far as my location, it was a bit harder for me today to really focus down, because where my cave is where I meditate, it's where I pray, so the energy there is so powerful. I can walk into my office and sit in a chair, and within moments I'm in a meditative state, if that's what I choose to do. Or if I go in there to work, I can also go in and just have a seat. But the energy in my cave is in meditate. And I actually got up a bit earlier this morning to try to get down into that place of just complete openness. So hopefully that has come through today as best as it could. I'll let go of this mic so that we can contemplate today's teaching, and then we'll have time for sharing after the next song. Blessings to you all. Okay, and thank you for
The mic, Gloria.
Okay, thank you. Can you hear me now? Okay, perfect. I was just saying thank you, Lynn, and that you do that so beautifully, matching the songs to the gathering. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to play because I know you're there to make sure that the right thing is played. Now, there's a question in the room, love accepting love, is that possible? When I saw that question, I placed my hand over my heart and I went inside to see if there was an answer there. And what came is, God is love. All things are possible to love, to God, but love, the question was, is it possible for love to accept love? Love is always being love. That's all love knows how to do. That's the answer that came up when I put my hand over my heart and went internal to see if there was an answer to that question. Love is always being love. It can't reject anything. It just is. Love is. So that's what came up there. And I want to say thank you as well for the comments in the room on this teaching about the heart. I truly appreciate those comments. And I want now, if anyone has any comments they'd like to make or anything they'd like to share, now is the time in our service for you to do so. So if you have something you'd like to share, please raise your hand. All right, Regina, and I see your hand there. I'll go ahead and let go of the mic. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought I would go ahead and just share the dream I had last night about Adyashanti because it fits very well, I think, with what you were talking about, the heart. It's interesting because this is the first dream where I remember being two people. What I mean is when looking out of these eyes and seeing the scene, I was two different people. I was Regina in one location, and then I was someone else, I don't know who, but it was a male. I was a man in another location, so I was able to be in two places and see what was happening in two places at once. In the dream, I was Regina. Regina was in North Carolina with Chris Celine, having some kind of a meeting with Chris Celine. I don't know, remember the details of the meeting. I'm not even sure if they were in the dream, but I was with Chris Celine. And back in Pueblo West, the male that I was, whoever the man was that I was, he was at Regina's house in Pueblo West, awaiting Adyashanti. Adyashanti was arriving for a meeting with Regina. Regina was going to be having this meeting with Chris in North Carolina, and then I guess popping, not flying, but popping back to Pueblo West to have a meeting with Adyashanti. And this man was at my house in case Adyashanti arrived before I got back. And what happened is the meeting with Chris Celine was very, very heart-centered. And the meeting was continuing over the time that it was supposed to. And in my heart, I felt to, stay and give my full attention to Chris Celine. And so Adyashanti did arrive at my house in Pueblo West, and this man was there to greet him. And I saw them kind of talking and chatting and waiting for Regina, and Regina not showing up. And I'm with Chris Celine, and there's a question, I know that I'm supposed to be meeting with Adyashanti now, and I'm still with Chris, so there's a question about whether I should call and let them know why I'm late. And the answer from within is no, I should be fully focused on everything that Chris Celine is saying. So I remain fully focused with Chris Celine, and my meeting with Chris Celine runs very long, like an hour and a half over, 90 minutes over. And Adyashanti and the man that I also am decide that they do not know when I'm arriving. And Adyashanti is just prepared to leave my house when, I think Adyashanti did leave my house. Adyashanti left my house. And after I finish with Chris Celine, I call the man at my house and he says, Adyashanti has left. You missed your meeting with Adyashanti. And I said in the dream, I said, please tell him that I was not able to come because I was with Chris Celine. And so this man that I also am calls Adyashanti and explains to him. And Adyashanti was very pleased because in Adyashanti's perspective, I was with him if I was with Chris Saline. In other words, in Adyashanti's perspective, I did not miss the meeting. If I was giving my full attention to Chris Saline and, you know, listening fully with both ears and with my heart, then I was also with him and I had not missed anything. And at the same time, he was willing to reschedule because apparently there was some practical business, I don't know what it was, that needed to be taken care of between the Regina and the Adyashanti. So he was willing to reschedule. But that truth, Lynn is saying that's a profound truth. That truth that if I was with Chris Saline, I was with him, recognized with a smile and a nod, was very, very, very beautiful. And so when I think the teaching that Gloria, the relationship to the teaching, when Gloria talks about the healthy heart, I think Adyashanti demonstrated that healthy heart perfectly in the dream, right? There was no feeling of, she blew me off for someone else. here I am, this important man, Adyashanti. I came to her house and she didn't even bother to show up. None of that was there. There was this, if you were with Chris Saline, you were with me. If you were listening to perfect wisdom, you were with me. There was no sense of difference there. So fully focused on the healthy heart, on the inner wisdom as who I am, not the body, not the personality, not the mind. At the same time, the recognition of what I'm going to call the practical aspect of Regina and the form of Adyashanti still have business, and so we will reschedule our meeting. It was kind of like being able to see both the practicality and the truth at the same time. And that's what the healthy heart is able to do. Sometimes when we get into intellectual spirituality, somewhere even the practicality gets lost. If we focus on what we imagine to be the truth, we forget the practicality. But in this healthy heart that Adyashanti demonstrated in the dream, both was there. So I guess that's all I have to say. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay, and thank you, Regina. That was a very interesting and definitely something that is related to the heart there, that the ability, the healthy heart absolutely has that ability to just be completely present and open to whatever is here now, whatever's live in this moment. That healthy, open heart is able to perceive that and participate with that. That's why I really wanted to have some discussions about that, because it just seems to me that, again, it's not just an organ that's pumping blood. It is a tool that Holy Spirit uses to communicate with us and to share wisdom, to bring light, to bring that light out. So, yes, I will let go, and Lynn, let you have a word here.
Thank you, Gloria, for this beautiful topic. And this is the guidance. It seems like we're all kind of moving in the same direction, and the guidance that I've been being given has all been about love and about the heart. And I'm blocking the heart, which I love the exercise of just putting your hand on your heart and breathing into your heart, loving into your heart, because the heart is actually, it's where everything comes. The heart is what sends everything to every cell of every part of your body is being enlivened and revived by the heart. And so it's a perfect symbol of the life that's in us and the love of the Holy Spirit that's in us. And even the breath You know, the breath means nothing if the heart is not there to transfer the oxygen in the blood to the rest of the body and to pick up the waste products and remove them from the body. The heart is essential to the life of the being, and so it's essential to the spirit life of the being as well, and the love that you know, I've been told is to be the to be the living embodiment of my Father's love. And I went around for years being that, loving. However, I was just given recently, and I talked about this last week as well, a completely different direction of the same exact teaching. And that is to see my brother as the living embodiment of my Father's love. And so no matter what my brother appears to be doing, how he appears to be acting, what his motives seem to be, what his words are, anything that is coming to me from a brother is an expression of love, an expression of my Father's love. And if that is what I see, is that my brother is only an expression of my Father's love, no matter what appears to be happening, I can be very sure that it is only upsetting to me if I see something that reflects my own inadequacy. And so if I see a brother and he appears to be attacking me, or appears to be afraid of me, or appears to be angry with me, or in any other way appears to be being negative, as long as I see that it is, because I think Ruby was asking about the difference between, you know, can love love and love only give love? Well, that's all there is. It's either love or a call for love. That's all there is. And so a call for love is the same as love. It's the Holy Spirit calling for love. And so if it appears that my brother is being contentious in any way, and it doesn't matter if they're a political figure, if they're my next door neighbor, my child, it doesn't matter. It's all a call for love, and it's a call to the heart. And so the only way that you can answer these things is from the heart. And if you know from the heart that your brother is only here to be truly helpful, and your brother is only here to represent the Christ to you, if I know that that's what my brother is here for, is to express love, even if it appears that they're not at the moment, that doesn't change their purpose, doesn't change what they are. And so this business of the heart and becoming the song of the heart and flowering the heart and all these things that we're doing here, that is the way that we open the channel for true communication that is beyond the opinions of the ego and the thoughts and ideas of the world, and actually heart-to-heart communication, which is the original state of the Son of God. We are originally heart-to-heart communicators, and that is what we're remembering right now with this. So thank you again, Gloria, for that beautiful talk, and thank you, Kathy, for reading, and turning the mic back to you, Gloria, and anyone else who wants to share.
Okay. Thank you, Lynn. I want to read from what you were just saying there, and I do see another hand up. I'll give you the mic here in just 1 second. I want to read from verse 12 in chapter 7. It speaks directly to what you just said. Verse 12 says, "Therefore, see your brothers as yourself. Know that their heart is the same as yours. Although they may seem to ask for sickness, their heart knows it wants help. So do not answer their cry for sickness by returning anger for anger or hurt for hurt. Answer their heart's cry for health by giving as the Father would give. Give help for help, and it is help you will receive. And I'll let go of the mic so that Nabodi can speak.
Hi, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm Monica from New Jersey, and I'm going to be a little off topic. So yesterday I went to a barbecue at John Mundy's house, and I saw Dove there and some other folks that I know, and that was a wonderful, beautiful thing. I was there with Pete, my partner. And towards the end of the party, it was getting chills. And we drove home, and he ended up getting sick to his stomach. And by this morning, he was incoherent. And I called an ambulance, and he's at the hospital now. And with my handicap and walking with the walker, I was not able to go with the ambulance, and I'm home. And I don't know how communicative he is with the nurses and doctors. And so I'm sad. And I just heard what the leader for today, I forget her first name, was saying about sort of like don't join your brother in his sickness. But, you know, Pete's a dialysis patient, and he just had open heart surgery in February. So there's a lot. Gloria, yeah. So there's a lot going on with him, and I'm frightened. And, you know, I'm handicapped, and he helps me so much. And there's a lot of things I'm not able to do, and I'm not able to do unless my home health aide comes, and she's not all that helpful. Pete is really the one that helps me the most. So, if we could remember him and me, I'm frightened. I'm very frightened. All right, thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Monica. What my heart is saying right now, what my heart is wanting to do is just embrace you completely. Just to embrace you in love, as love, through love, for love. I embrace you. I embrace the situation, and I see light there. I can feel the softness in your conversation. I can feel your heart. So that is, and please use the heart breath that I talked about today as a tool, as a practice that's very easy to do. Putting the hand over the heart and breathing through that area and focusing on positive thoughts to reactivate that part of your heart. So I hold you high in prayer, and that situation high in prayer as well. Okay, so does anyone else have anything else they would like to share today? And if not, we will go ahead and close out today's gathering. I want to wish everyone a very safe and pleasant holiday weekend. And the next hour will be for fellowship. And I just want to leave you again with Proverbs 4, verse 23, which says, above all else, guard your hearts, for everything you do will flow from it. Love to you all.
that exists with us and around us. Where angels sing on rays of light, on rays of light, and love pours forth.
Of life.
exists with us.